Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
When Julia Gillard began her term as the Australian Prime Minister a decade ago, she was wary of letting the gendered treatment that she received from the media and the public and Parliament define her leadership. In her new book, though, Women and Leadership, Real Lives, Real Lessons, along with her co-author Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, Julia examines how experiences are different for men and women in positions of leadership and power. And I'm delighted to say former Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard joins me now in News Talk to discuss her book further. Julia, you're very welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm terrific, thank you, and very pleased to be with you.
So tell me, it was a wonderful, warm experience you had in Australian Parliament that led you to decide this might be a book worth writing?
It was really the experiences post-Parliament that led to the writing of the book. Of course, I came out of Australian politics with my own tales to tell. But in the years afterwards, as I followed global events and got to know my co-author Ngozi better and better, we started a vibrant conversation on women and leadership, our own experiences, but what else was happening around the world. And it was really trying to make a contribution to analysing the continuing issues for women leaders and perhaps offering some advice about what we need to change in our world so that it's better for women who step forward for leadership. That was the real motivation for writing the book.
So it was afterwards you were kind of opening your mind a bit to the experience you'd gone through, but when you were actually Prime Minister, were you kind of wondering, is it me or is it my gender? Is that the way your head was at the time?
A little bit of a mix. I mean, I went into Parliament an active feminist. I've been an active feminist since I was in university many, many, many years ago, a long time ago. And I was of that generation of women in Australian politics that fought for an affirmative action rule and wanted to see change. So I wasn't naive about sexism or anything like that. But, you know, you can only watch the experiences of the first woman when you have the first woman to be Prime Minister. And in Australia, I was that woman. And so, yes, there were days during my Prime Ministership that I was thinking to myself, how much of this is about gender? How much of it is about the political circumstances of the time? How much of it is about me? And when I sat down to write my biography, having finished my time as Prime Minister, I started to unpack those questions. But really, this book helps take me the next step by looking at the global research base into women and leadership and then seeing whether it's true in the real lives of women leaders, not just me and Ngozi, but eight fantastic women leaders that we interview from around the world.
When you went looking at the research, though, did you find that it's quite a small base? Because the basic truth is there are very few women who reach positions of power such as you did.
Oh, yes, I'm sure that there are many statisticians who'd spend a lot of their time tut-tutting saying the sample base is too small to draw conclusions from. And isn't that just telling you a tale in and of itself? There is terrific research, but a lot of it's done in lab-style conditions because there are so few women leaders in the real world. What researchers do is they create experiments. So they do things like get groups of voters, two groups of voters, get a man and a woman to do a political pitch to each of these groups of voters. They give them exactly the same script to pitch, and then they monitor the reaction to see whether it's received differently from the woman than the man. And they find that it is.
It is.
So that, yeah, it is. Oh, heavens, it is. There is a piece of research from Yale that we unpack in the book, and they did precisely what I've just described. And the script that they got these actors to pitch, they were pretending to be political candidates, included lines like, I'm the kind of person who gets things done. Sometimes I have to step on someone's toes to achieve the job, but I always get it done. And from a man, absolutely fine. From a woman, the reaction of the audience was highly adverse. So it's telling you that there's still stereotypes in our head. And if a man is seen to be forceful and commanding, we're prepared to go with that. But if a woman does exactly the same thing, then because the stereotype in our head is one of empathy and nurturing, then we find that conduct quite offensive.
Wow. You talked to some incredibly powerful people, Hillary Clinton and Theresa May and others. What kind of stories were they telling you?
We had very generous access to 8 fantastic women leaders from all parts of the world, from Africa, from Europe, from my region of the world with Jacinda Ardern. And what we did is we put to them a series of hypotheses that we had drilled out of the research and basically said, has this come true in your life? And all of our women leaders did talk about differential attention on their appearance. They talked about this dilemma of needing to combine strength with empathy, and they were all intuitively aware that if they didn't get the combination right, then there would be a trap for them, that if they were too tough, people would think they were unlikable. If they were too caring, people would think they were too weak to lead. Each of them told their own story about their family life and how that was combined with politics. And of course, Jacinda Ardern's got a huge story to tell there, being the second woman in the world to have a baby in office. They also talked about mentoring and role modelling. We put to them whether they'd been supported by other women or blocked by other women. And it wasn't that each of them had exactly the same experiences, but there was more in common than the very big differences in culture and context would lead you to believe at first glance.
You do wonder about some of the reactions that you mentioned, Jacinda Ardern there, and her having the baby. In some circles, looking at her, thinking, what is she doing? And then you compare that to Tony Blair, and that was what a fantastic thing for Tony to have done.
Well, actually, the UK seems to specialise in having prime ministers that have babies in office. Tony Blair famously did, David Cameron did, and of course, the current prime minister, Boris Johnson, has had a new child while in office. And I think the public reaction to all of that is a little bit intrigued. You know, people want to hear the baby news, but it's a very benign, happy reaction. I think the nation celebrates with the prime minister that there's a new arrival, and isn't that wonderful? Whereas, of course, for a woman in office, there's a series of questions to answer about how on earth is she going to combine work and family life?
To look at people who be listening to this, maybe women are considering careers in politics or whatever, just going on and being ambitious in their careers. Would you say it's getting better for them?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm a huge optimist about where we're going to get to. But the world doesn't just change itself. People have to get out and change it. And that's one of the big lessons and messages that we want to share from the book. We want women to go on their own leadership journeys, whether that's politics or business or civil society or their local community or the law or the media, whatever it is for them. We want women to aspire. But we don't want to try and pretend it's all going to be fine. Women are going to hit days when they are being treated differently and perhaps lesser than a man would have been in similar circumstances. And so we say forewarned is forearmed. This is a book to help you think through how you will react when that moment comes.
If things did even out and we got far more female leaders, do you think we'll be in a better position? I'm looking down and I'm looking at some of the male leaders at the moment. I'm thinking of Trump. I'm thinking of Johnson, Bolsonaro in Brazil, and their reaction during COVID-19 and how they've led their countries. And then maybe Merkel, on the other hand, who I think we might say has done a better job. Is that part of a male-female divide?
I think we've got to be a little bit careful here that we don't bake the sexism in. I'm not a believer that men and women's brains are somehow inherently different and that there's always going to be a difference in the way that men and women lead. And we do in the book end up looking at neuroscience and concluding that a lot of the men are from Mars, women are from Venus kind of stuff is actually neurosexism. But it is true to say that in our world, men and women are socialised differently and consequently do tend to come with different capacities for leadership. And there is good research now from the UK that says women leaders have managed the crisis in a way that's led to fewer deaths. And mainly they've done that by being risk averse and locking down their countries earlier than some other places. So that's a very interesting piece of research. But I aspire for the world, for a world where we've got true equality in all things, where men and women are coming through for leadership in equal numbers, where a man can be a caring, empathetic, kind leader, a woman can be a strong and commanding leader, and we don't put any of them in gender cages and say, no, you can't be that kind of person because of your gender.
Right, so there could be a female Trump.
Well, yes, there could be. And you and I might have our views about whether people should vote for a female Trump. I certainly would have a view about that. But I don't think we can say, look, it's good for women to come through for leadership only if they're going to be better than men. That is baking the sexism in. Of course, I want to see the best people, women and men, come through for leadership.
Sounds like a good plan. I hope it goes that way. Julia, thank you very much for joining us today. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.